This is Ask Me Another, NPR's Hour of Puzzles, Word Games, and Trivia, coming to you from San Diego. I'm Jonathan Colton. Now here's your host, Ophira Eisenberg.
Thank you, Jonathan. Today's episode is a California Christmas. And it's time to welcome our first special guest. He started his career on American Idol, where he sang Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody in his first audition. Now he tours as the frontman for the band Queen. Please welcome Adam Lambert. Adam, truly an honor to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
And welcome home.
Thank you, San Diego.
Yeah.
Hometown.
You know, as a little kid, from what I've read, you always wanted to be a performer. You had that bug in you immediately. And you said in an interview with RuPaul that as a kid you did sheet drag. What is sheet drag?
It's taking your bed sheets and making a garment out of your bed sheets, notably a strapless gown, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Or a cape or palazzo pants. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot you can do with one giant piece of fabric.
Yeah.
And of course, mine, when I was a teenager, was leopard print, which was really a... I mean, who doesn't love leopard
That's
print?
That's perfect.
Timeless pattern.
That was your sheet on your bed?
Yeah. It was like a snow leopard or something.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
So most of the world met you through American Idol. And, you know, it was American Idol. You had a chance to watch it before you auditioned.
I was a big fan.
Yeah. You were a big fan?
Yeah.
So, but when you decided to audition, I mean, like, what was going through your head?
Don't mess it up. I mean, I was really nervous because I knew the weight of it. You know, I knew, like, that this was something that could potentially change everything.
Sure.
And I was, like, ready for the next chapter.
Yeah.
So I said, why not? Let's try it. And having watched the show for so many years, I kind of had figured out what the game was at that point.
What was the game?
Well, the producers kind of pick a final top 12 or 13, it wasn't my season, and each person kind of has their own wheelhouse or their own demographic or genre of music. And I realized, I'm like, oh, I'm the rocker. That's where they've put me.
Yep.
In fact, when I got to the audition, the first thing I sang in front of the judges was a Michael Jackson song. And they all looked at me like, confused, you know?
Right, King of Pop.
And I knew I was like, okay, I can do anything that you want. What else do you want? What do you want to hear? And they're like, well, what else do you have? And I'm like, how about Bohemian Rhapsody? And a light bulb, I could see it go off on top of all their heads. I went, yes! And so when I sang that...
You just pulled that out?
Right out, yeah.
When was the last time that you would, like, practice that song or sing
it? I had it on deck.
Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That's pretty great, though.
The producers knew that was sort of my backup choice.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. So after American Idol, you decide to come out to the world on the cover and in the pages of Rolling Stone magazine.
Hello!
With the... I mean, the result is that it was their highest-selling magazine of 2009.
Wow.
Did you feel a lot of pressure at the time to be the new gay poster boy?
It was so strange to
me
because I came out to my family and to all my friends when I was 18.
Right.
And then through my early 20s, I was doing theater in LA. I was with lots of queer people. I was doing musicals. I was performing in clubs. I was dressing up. I was going out. I was like, yeah, this is me. I knew that. And I had no hangups. My family was really supportive. And I was in an industry that supported it. And then on Idol, right before Idol started, there were all these pictures that came out. And it was me, like, kissing an ex-boyfriend. And so, oh, God, what are we going to do? The blog started writing about it. And I got asked on the carpet, like, so, we see these pictures of you. And I'm like, yeah, that's me. I'm kissing a dude. And, you know, to me at the time, I was looking at it from my point of view. I didn't have the knowledge or the experience yet to really see it as the public looking at me. So I do the whole competition, and once you start the competition, you cannot talk to the press at all. Or at least that's how it was when I was on the show. Mm-hmm. And at that point, it was like, okay, let me focus on the task at hand here, which is singing. And so then at the end of the show, when we could talk to the press again, all of a sudden it was a big topic. And I was mixed with total intimidation and fear of that idea, excitement about, wow, this could be a big deal for more than just me, for many people. And that's when, at the end of the competition, we were like, let's do this the right way. Let's save it for a publication that we know will cover this the right way, fairly, and very in a very liberal light.
Right.
And, yeah. And totally got me.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you get offered to be the front man for Queen.
Yeah.
You met the band on set on American Idol.
Yes, I did. I met the band doing the finale. They were invited and we sang We're the Champions.
Yeah.
We all kind of looked at each other and there was something good in the air, some good vibes. And then the rest all happened. I walked away and I released my first album. And then Queen came a calling and said, hey, we have this thing. We're doing the MTV EMAs.
Right.
And we're doing a medley. You want to sing it? And I was like, yeah.
You know, you're stepping in Freddie Mercury's shoes. So what was your approach of like, I need to pay homage, obviously, to this front
big
man?
Big shoes.
Yeah, right.
I wore heels, you know. I was like, big shoes to fill? Yeah, damn right. Shoes. These are big.
But you still want to be yourself, obviously.
Yeah. That was the most important thing. And in talking to Brian May and Roger Taylor,
yeah,
it became really obvious to me very quickly, we're not looking for an imitator.
That's
we do
true.
Not want an impersonation of Freddie. That would be tacky.
Totally.
You know, and like they wouldn't feel comfortable with that. I remember going to the first rehearsal with them, and I'm like, well, guys, you just tell me what you want, and where to stand, and what note to hit, and how to do it, and whatever, what to wear. And they were like, no, what do you want to do? Which, from the get-go, was the biggest blessing. They made me feel very comfortable, and they made me feel like it was really a collaboration.
That's cool.
Yeah. And it's evolved, which has been so exciting. When we started 6 years ago together, it was me getting up there really nervous, doing the best I could. But that's what's been so great is that we've gotten to evolve together as a unit. And we can look at each other now on stage and have like shorthand just with a look. And know, oh, we're going to repeat that part. Oh, I didn't sing that right lyric. They know. I know. They don't know. Cool, we're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Now it feels like it's in my body, which is so cool to
yeah.
be able to get on stage and still have that freedom.
Yeah, no, that's the best feeling of all time. All right, Adam Lambert, are you ready for your Ask Me Another challenge?
Yes.
Okay, fantastic. All right, so in 2009, you were on the cover of Rolling Stone. It was the highest selling issue of that year. So in honor of that, we're going to describe other people who were also on Rolling Stone's cover in 2009. And remember, they are not all musicians.
Right.
Yes.
I'm not going to know any of them.
And if you do well enough, Patty Humphreys from Camarillo, California, was going to win an Ask Me Another Rubik's Cube.
Okay.
Yep. All right. Here we go. This artist was described by Rolling Stone as being a little bit country, a little bit rock and roll, and all control freak. She graced the cover for the first time in March of 2009, 6 months later. Kanye West interrupted her speech at the VMAs.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks for the Kanye.
No problem.
The Kanye effect.
Okay, at one point, this Twilight star was the highest paid teenage actor in Hollywood. Team Jacob fans rejoiced when he graced...
Taylor Lautner?
Yes! This Colombian singer says she taught herself English by listening to Leonard Cohen and Bob Dylan. She made waves with her 2009 release, She-Wolf.
Shakira!
That's right. That's right.
Ooh, I like this game now.
Yeah, do it because you're doing great. I didn't even have to finish it. I was going to finish it with Her Hips Don't Lie, but you didn't need it.
No, they didn't.
This is your final question. This band's frontman once described you, Adam Lambert, as pretty badass for hitting high notes. He appeared on the cover with bandmates Mike Dirnt and Trey Cool promoting their rock opera album, 21st Century Breakdown. Okay. Does American Idiot mean anything?
Oh, Green Day.
That's right. That is correct. You are right.
Sorry. He was like one of like 12 other guys that were wearing guyliner in 2009. That's... Coined guyliner.
That's right. Guyliner.
It's eyeliner.
I know, it's just eyeliner.
It's just eyeliner.
I have to do that to everything, right? Well, congratulations, Adam. You got them all right.
Yeah.
So you won a Rubik's Cube for listener Patty Humphreys.
Yay!
Give it up for Adam Lambert, everybody. You can catch Adam and Queen in 2019 performing all across North America. Adam Lambert, everybody.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Want our next special guest to play for you? Follow Ask Me Another on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.